Good morning. The reading today in our Blue Bible can be found on page 1010, and it's in Mark, starting at Mark 7, starting at verse 1 through verse 23. So that's page 1010. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, the pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'If anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother.' Thus you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their hearts, but into their stomach and then out of their body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceitfulness, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is God's word.
Do keep Mark chapter 7 open before you. If you've closed it, you'll find it on page 1010. Let's pray together as we begin. Our Father, we pray now for the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would come and speak your truth to us. And we pray that you would give us the grace to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to draw our attention this morning to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 15. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. Defilement, says Jesus, is something which is inside out rather than outside in. Students aren't renowned for their cleanliness. And I remember I was once a student, I just about remember that, and I remember a time when I went on holiday after my finals with a couple of my friends to Corfu, and one of my friends was called Dan, and Dan packed a toothbrush. What I mean is Dan only packed a toothbrush. We were going for 8 days, and he figured that if he wore his pants twice, that's 2 days, and then if he turned them round, 4 days, and then if he turned them inside out, that's another couple of days, round again, that's the full 8 days. So he figured, all I need to bring is my toothbrush. So Dan wasn't renowned for his cleanliness. But we, on the other hand, obsess about keeping clean. If you just look under the average kitchen or bathroom sink, there's stuff to keep the floors clean, there's stuff to keep the body clean, there's stuff even to keep the pants clean. I think it's called washing powder, and I should remind Dan about that. We are obsessed with cleanliness, and so were the Pharisees of Jesus' time, which is why they come to him with this question in verse 5. Why aren't your disciples following our traditions? And the issue here isn't about hygiene, as we think about keeping clean, but it is about ritual defilement, keeping clean before God. That's the issue here. And Jesus says to them, look, you Pharisees, you are right about defilement. You are defiled. We're all defiled before God. But you're wrong about the depth of the problem. You think that defilement is skin deep, but it's actually much deeper than that. Defilement is a heart problem. Your problem, he says, is this. You reject what God says. You reject his word. You reject God. He says it three times there, actually, in verses 8 to 13. He says, you let go, you set aside, you nullify the word of God, and yet you hold on, observe, and hand down your traditions. And he says to them, with all frankness, you're a bunch of hypocrites. All this fuss about washing, all this trivial stuff, but you've missed what really matters. The prophet Isaiah got it right about you. Verse 6, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Isaiah got it right. And if you say to me, show me the evidence, well, let me just talk to you about your practice of Korban. Here's what you do. You say, here's a bunch of money, and I've ring-fenced it, and I'll call it devoted to God. And I can't use that for anything. So sorry, Mum, I can't pay for the nursing home because all of this money is devoted to God. And by doing so, what have you done? You've broken the commandment to honor your father and your mother. You say, it looks very spiritual, it looks all religious, it looks as though you're super keen, but actually the truth is, you've done what displeases God. You've broken his command. That's the truth. We've all perhaps walked onto a tube and we've seen the tramp there, or maybe we've smelt the tramp first, covered in dirt, probably reeking of alcohol, maybe of urine as well. And if we want to get a seat on that tube, is it easy to get a seat? Yes, it is. There's no one sitting next to that guy, is there? Because what defilement does is it alienates you. It separates you from those around. Nobody wants to be near you. And Jesus and the Pharisees know that spiritual defilement alienates us and separates us from God. Can't stand to be in our presence. Got a distant uncle, and he strained his back, and he was trying to lift a fridge, and he ignored the problem, and he went on a cruise. He came home and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you've got cancer and you've got weeks to live. And he died, I think, a couple of weeks later. So he thought the problem was minor, and therefore he thought the solution was pretty minor. He'd just go and get a bit of physiotherapy and he'd be right as rain. What he didn't realize was that the problem was deep and he needed a very radical solution. And therefore, he missed out on the solution. There's a famous example in literature of Lady Macbeth. And you may know she took part in a murder and her hands are covered in blood and she goes to wash her hands and she says, "Out, damned spot, out, I say." And then she says, "All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand." And what she's saying is this. She's saying, I can wash away the blood, but I cannot wash away the defilement. I cannot wash away the guilt that is inside. I can deal with the outside, but I can't deal with the inside. You might say, well, yeah, okay, murder. Yeah, okay, I get that, but I don't feel dirty. Well, listen. The truth is, we're all washing. Some of us do religious-style washing, and some of us do secular-style washing. So we might do a religious-style washing by saying 100 Hail Marys, or by doing a pilgrimage to Mecca or wherever it is, or we might just get really super keen about reading our Bible or saying our prayers. And we can just do this religious kind of washing. So we sense that we're dirty and we're trying to purge ourselves. Or we can wash in a secular way. So we can be very perfectionist about things and we don't want anybody else to do anything. We don't delegate. Or we get bitter with somebody. We say, well, they've just kind of ruined my life. And we're just bitter and it eats us up. Or we're over-concerned about our image. And I say this gently, but we give ourselves to making ourselves look beautiful. Or we go on diet after diet after diet. And what is behind all of those things? Well, ultimately, a sense of defilement, a sense of something's not right. And so we're washing. Because we sense some kind of alienation. Perhaps we can't explain it, but that's what it is. It's there. See, it's not just the Pharisees. We can't laugh at the Pharisees here. This is how they dealt with it, by washing everything. They're always washing. And so are you, so am I, so is Lady Macbeth. So are we all. And that's the first point. We're defiled. We know it. We pretend we're not, but then why are we washing? Because at some level we recognize that our defilement is in here rather than out there. Defilement is not outside in. Defilement, secondly, is inside out. If Jesus' answer to the first half of the Pharisees' question in verse 5 was, we don't follow your tradition because defilement is deeper than skin deep. Well, in these verses, from 14 to 23, Jesus answers the second half of the question of verse 5. Why do you eat with defiled hands? And he tells this simple parable. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. He says that to the crowd. So simple at one level. But even the disciples don't get this. So as they draw aside, they ask him to explain it. And Jesus says to them, look, are you so dull? Are you a bit dim here? Are you a bit thick? Jesus is a bit like the A-level teacher. He comes alongside and says, don't you realize this is GCSE stuff, guys. This is perhaps it's not even primary stuff. You sure you don't get this? I'm sure he said it with some gentle sarcasm as he said it to them. But he says to them, look, simple biology. Here's a diagram of the body. And in the morning when mummy comes along and feeds you your Cheerios, they go into your mouth. And then you swallow and they go into your esophagus. And you know where they go next, into your stomach. And then they go into your intestines. And then where do they go, class? And they all begin to chuckle and say, yeah, of course. So they end up in the loo, don't they? That's where they end up. Well then, says Jesus, why are you being such dimwits about it? Why do you think the defilement is something outside? The food just goes in the body and out again. That can't defile you. No. The defilement is inside you. Our family is at the stage where when we go on holiday, we have to listen to children's songs. And we have Bob the Builder as we were in the car this week. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, no, we can't. We can't fix the heart. That's the problem. We love to fix stuff, but when it comes to our defiled hearts, the answer is no, we can't fix it. Defilement is inside out. Lady Macbeth understood this, and the question is, do we understand it? Even if perhaps we've been in church for many years, do we understand that actually defilement is inside us, that our hearts are defiled? We may be redeemed, but there's something of the old man left behind that we're battling against. Let's try and diagnose whether we understand it. We trundle along in the Christian life, and we think we're doing okay. Everything seems to be okay. We seem to be living a fairly godly life, and then suddenly, out of the blue, we mess up big style. Perhaps our husband says something insensitive to us, and so we fly off the handle at them, and we pretend it's the end of the world. We say, you never do this, you always do that, and why don't you do the other? Or we find ourselves quite unexpectedly looking at porn on the internet. Or we're consumed with a desire to have the latest gadget or whatever it is, and we're surprised at ourselves. I think Jesus might say, are you so dull? Do you not realize? You're defiled on the inside. These things will happen from time to time. I don't commend them, but it's a sign of your defilement. Don't you see? The heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. One other way we show we don't get it is the times when we say sorry. We're not very good at saying that anyway, but the times when we say sorry, we tend to do it by adding loads of caveats and excuses. Sorry I threw the rolling pin at you. I was having a stressful day. I was tired. The kids were playing up. I had a bad night's sleep. What would we say if we believe Jesus in verse 15? I'm sorry. I struggle with pride. And I just always think I'm right. I'm sorry. It's just amazing how angry and bitter I've become. Or if that seems just too hard for us, perhaps we should just say, I'm sorry. Full stop. No excuses. No caveats, just, I'm sorry. Try it. Heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. Because defilement is inside out. And that affects, and should affect, the way we view everyone and everything. Everyone. Perhaps we remember on the news earlier this week the story of this guy, Richard Huckle, this child abuser. I'm not going to go into any of the details because it's a really upsetting story. Worth remembering that in the Lord's eyes, not all sin is the same. He recognized that child abuse and stealing something from the corner shop are a different entity. He'll take that into account. We need to remember, of course, that all sin is forgivable for those who come to the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash away any sin. But we also need to remember that we have the same fundamental heart condition as Richard Huckle. Our hearts are defiled. I'm not saying we're as bad as him. I'm not saying that. But I am saying our hearts are defiled. I'm not saying that we're not capable of great things, even acts of altruism and heroine, being a hero or a heroine. We can do those things, but actually Jesus says, it's not me who's saying it actually, it's Jesus who says it, what comes out of a person defiles them. That's what Jesus says. Your argument's not with me, it's with the Lord. It changes the way we view ourselves and others. It changes the way we view everything else as well. Just think about politics for the moment, just in case you haven't been thinking about politics. You may know that there's a European referendum happening soon. Does it matter? Does politics matter? Yes, it matters. Politics is an honourable thing. It's an honourable profession. And it's our duty to get informed so that we can vote wisely. One way we can do that is check out some websites. There's some very helpful advice on the webs, which will point out the issue for us. Next Sunday evening, we're going to have a little spotlight on the issue. We'll be thinking about one of the aspects of what the Bible has to say about it. But we won't be spending much time on it here. Why not? Well, because though politics and education and social advance matter, ultimately, they only deal with the surface. They can only deal with the surface. But Christ came to deal with the root. Christ came to deal with the heart of the problem. If you were on your deathbed with a mortal wound, you wouldn't want the doctor to come along and give you a tube grip. You'd want him to give you something that could significantly impact your situation. And in order to do that, we first of all need to know the diagnosis of the problem. And Jesus tells us the source of the problem three times in verses 20 to 23. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." All these evils come from, well, it's actually a fourth time here, isn't it? Come from inside and defile a person. Now, we tend to focus upon that horrible list, and we should all be able to spot ourselves at one level or another, perhaps we're skewered by the very first thing on the list, sexual immorality. But if that doesn't skewer us, well, we find later on greed and envy will. But what Jesus isn't doing here is he isn't guilt-tripping us. What he's wanting to do is he's wanting to show us how grave our problem is. And he needs to do this because we're all pretty spiritually dim. Sometimes people say to me things like, "I need to give up my job." And I say to them, "Well, why do you need to do that?" And they say something like this, "Because I work in the city and it's just impossible to be a Christian in this kind of environment with all of the people who are around me and work with me." But that's outside in thinking. We can't be defiled by what's out there. Obviously, Christians need to be wise about certain situations, which we shouldn't go into. That would be very unwise, but the point is that Jesus is saying we're defiled by what's on the inside. And then when we sin, when we do these things and act like these people in verses 22, then that's just a sign that we're already defiled on the inside. Dick Lucas said, "You can't run away from your own shadow." Your heart is defiled, then you will do defiling things. Why is the most loving man in all of history telling us this? Well, consider two scenarios. The doc comes to us and says, "Look, you're going to die." And you ask, "Well, why?" And he says, "Well, you're going to have heart failure because your arteries are blocked." What do you say? Scenario number one, "How dare you? I cannot believe you said that, and you storm out of his office and slam the door behind you. Scenario number two. Doc, that's a real shock to me. It's going to take me a while to get over that. But thank you for telling me the truth. Thank you for telling me it straight. Is there anything that can be done? Jesus Christ comes alongside us and he tells us the bad news because he wants to offer us open heart surgery. The Pharisees had built all of their traditions on top of the Old Testament laws. So, for example, hand washing was prescribed in the Old Testament for the priests. But the Pharisees came along and said, no, everybody needs to do it. You need to do it in all kinds of circumstances. When you touch particular food, or if you go into the marketplace, just in case you've brushed up alongside the wrong people. And Jesus' disciples have just been in the marketplace, end of chapter 6. But the point of the laws that God gave was to remind people that they were already defiled. What was the solution? The solution for Old Testament Israel was a day which we looked at recently in Leviticus, a day of atonement. One day in Israel's calendar when all of the uncleanness when all of the defilement was purged with the blood of sacrifice. A day which enabled Israel to come near to God. And that day was just a shadow. It was just a shadow, so that Jesus, we read here, he fulfills this law. So at the end of verse 19, Jesus declared all foods clean. In other words, all of that Old Testament law has been wiped away because it has been fulfilled in the cross of Jesus. That's where he's going, isn't it? As he speaks these words in Mark 7, he's going to the cross to fulfill all of those laws in his own death, to deal with our defilement and our resulting alienation from God. That's what the cross was about. Jesus tells us that we are defiled on the inside, but he has gone to the cross to cleanse us and to deal with our defilement. Of course, one day he will completely cleanse us and we will be in his presence, free from sin forever. But the cross reveals two things for us. First of all, it reveals the depth of man's defilement. Ask yourself this: why would Jesus go to the cross if we could solve our own defilement problem? If we could do something superficial to solve it, try harder, whatever it might be, why would Jesus go there if we could do it? The depth of man's defilement, and secondly, the depth of God's love. How could Jesus go to the cross, knowing our defilement, knowing everything there is to know about us, all the things in verse 21 and 22? That ultimately we've rejected him, and yet he has loved us so radically and so deeply. Jesus says that our problem is not superficial but radical, and therefore the solution must be beyond superficial. Defilement is inside out, and only a dullard therefore tries to clean outside in. Jesus said, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, this man so full of grace and so full of truth. Father, the world around us, maybe even our friends, don't tell us the full truth. But you have told us what we need to know. And we thank you that, like the surgeon who cuts. He cuts and you cut in order to heal, in order to show us the depth of our problem, and therefore to reveal to us the wonderful grace of your solution. Thank you so much that you've gone in the person of Jesus Christ to deal with our defilement, to deal with our alienation, and to draw us into that intimate relationship with yourself. Help us to view ourselves and others rightly, but help us also to view you rightly and to see that you are the God who has loved us in such a radical way. In Jesus' name, amen.